break open doors, leading you down into my core. Will I become so numb? Without a soul, my spirit sleeping somewhere cold, until you find it there and make it back home.
Wake me up!
Wake me up inside!
Wake up!
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, October 26, 2017 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is, to be sure. It just gets wilder and stranger all the time. And today is no exception. And we'll talk about some of the strange stories happening today. Not the least of which is probably the JFK situation, right? Today it's Thursday, and the thousands of additional, I think it's 3,150 files, the additional intelligence files on the Friday, November 22nd, 1963, assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, which were scheduled to be declassified, are now due. And word on the street is that they will be declassified. The intelligence community attempted to have these files remain classified for an additional 25 years, which President Trump indicated he intended not to allow. And that seems to have been upheld. He's in Texas today. It's interesting. So he's in Dallas, and the JFK files are set to be released. Maybe that's just a coincidence, another one of those coincidences, and not a harbinger, but I digress. But even if these declassified documents are in fact released, will they provide any new and revelatory insight into the assassination of President Kennedy, Or will they simply be yet another instance of misleading the American people or another instance of a limited hangout, as Dan Dix at Press for Truth pointed out? I mentioned that. We played that the other day. Dan Dix over at Press for Truth pointing out the fact that the intelligence community is obviously notorious for providing these limited hangouts in an effort to create not just misdirection, but a place for you to hang out. These limited hangouts are sort of a honeypot in the sense that you essentially are self-targeting when you find yourself there, and they go nowhere. They're intended to go only so far in terms of providing information, of course. So Dan Dix did a great job in that video of pointing that out. And really, should we expect anything less from agencies that make deception, including lying to, deceiving, and misleading the American people, a professional occupation? We know that we've seen the head of the NSA and the FBI recently, among others, and the CIA, essentially lie to Congress or lie to the American people via Congress. And so at what point is there any accountability when this happens? So should we be surprised? Should we expect anything less from agencies that make deception their professional occupation? Beyond Dan Dix, well-observed point about limited hangouts, Jason Burmis from We Are Change offers perhaps the most insightful and provocative examination of this question in his YouTube video published yesterday titled "The Kennedy Files Revealed." If we're ready with that, let's listen to that.
Hey everybody, Jason Burmis here reporting for WeAreChange.org. And this week there's been a lot of media attention surrounding Donald Trump saying he will finally allow the infamous JFK assassination documents to be declassified. Now, there have been a number of times in the past that these documents were finally supposed to come to light. So a lot of people are treating this like a big deal. However, I gotta tell you folks, although I'm somewhat anticipating them, I kinda already know what's in them. The reason is that a document was made available to the public in the early 2000s, and it was even included in my 2010 documentary, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. So what is this document, and why is it so important? Well, first of all, it's a document that's dated March 3rd, 1964, and it's a correspondence between the chief of the U.S. Secret Service, James Rawley, receiving from John McCone, the director at the time of the Central Intelligence Agency. And really, the only way to do this document justice is to read it in its entirety, taking pauses to point things out momentarily. In response to the request made by your office on the 24th of February, 1964, a response to Lee Oswald's activities and assignments on behalf of this agency and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, aka on behalf of his involvement with the CIA and the FBI. There follows a narrative summary of the internal subversive actions of the Oswald subject. I recommend that unless the commission makes a specific request for specific information contained herein, that this information not be volunteered. This agency has reason to assume that some junior commission staff members may be potential sources of leaks to the news media or to other agencies. Due to the highly sensitive nature of the enclosed material, it would certainly be in the national interest to withhold it at this time, unless there is, of course, a specific request made. It is my understanding that Mr. Hoover has certain sensitive information within his agency, which he transferred to his own personal files for safekeeping. He concurs that no material should be voluntarily given to the commission, which might affect the status of field operatives or their safety. So basically right here, folks, they're saying they're not going to share this information with the Warren Commission. He is particularly concerned about the DeBruy Memorandum, which Central Intelligence has obtained and which, I understand, you have obtained. It is imperative that this information, at least for the time, remain under wraps. So what is the DeBruy Memorandum? Well, the fact is that no such memorandum has been declassified to the public. But let me give you a little background on who wrote this memorandum. Warren C. DeBruy was born December 26, 1920. He served in New Orleans and L.A. and in Mexico City from 1943 to 1944 as a special employee in the FBI's counterintelligence role, including matters related to clandestine German microdot communications. He was instrumental in Dallas during the Kennedy assassination investigation, where he also directed the overnight analysis, composition, and assembling of the first report consisting of 800-plus pages. So, folks, if all the documents relating to JFK are actually declassified, we should see this 800-page report by Warren C. DeBruy. DeBruy has since passed away in 2013 at the age of 92 years old. Continuing with the document, the Oswald subject was trained by this agency under the cover of the Office of Naval Intelligence for Soviet assignments. So right there, the director of the CIA is admitting that Oswald was trained by the CIA under the cover of ONI. During preliminary training in 1957, the subject was active in aerial reconnaissance of mainland China and maintained a security clearance up to the confidential level. His military records during this period are open to your agency, and I have directed them to be forwarded to the commission. The subject received additional indoctrination at our own Camp Peary site from September 8th to October 17th, 1958, and participated in a few relatively minor assignments until arrangements were made for his entry into the Soviet Union in September of 1959. While in the Soviet Union, he was on special assignment in the area of Minsk. It would not be advantageous at this time to divulge the specifics of that assignment. However, if you wish this information, it can be made available for your personal inspection within the confines of your own office. Or I can send it by courier on the condition that it not leave the custody of the courier. Now here comes a bombshell piece of this document. I am concerned that this information, were in any way disclosed to the wrong persons, it would lead the media to erroneously claim this agency and perhaps others were directly involved in the Dallas action. While the persons involved were in the employ of this agency, as well as the Federal Bureau investigation, it is virtually impossible for this or any agency to maintain full 24-hour-a-day responsibility over its operatives. So right there, McCone is admitting that the assassination indeed involved operatives within both the Federal Bureau investigations and the Central Intelligence Agency. It's right there in black and white, folks. At the time of the Dallas action, the Oswald subject was only seldom in our employ after the Soviet assignment. We found him to be unreliable and emotionally unstable. He was of little use to us after his marriage, and DeBruy, from what I understand, concurred in this. He was provided with a few unimportant infiltration assignments and proved of little or no value. It is possible that Oswald, given his instability, might have been involved in some operation involving Hoffa, as noted in Special Agent in Charge Bertram's report to your agency dated 1364. Mr. Hoover advises that his agency is trying to determine whether Hoffa might have been involved laterally or vertically with the Dallas assassination. I have advised that I would be interested in seeing the results of that investigation. In Special Agent in Charge Bertram's 1364 report are basically correct. His agency has advised Deputy Sweet against any further unauthorized statements to the news media which might adversely affect the investigation. Mr. Hoover advises he has no knowledge of how Deputy Sweet obtained his information, and there is no record of the agency distributing any such information to Sweat or any other member of the Dallas Sheriff's Office. It is regrettable that this information has come to the attention of the news media, but I am sure Mr. Hoover will be able to clarify the situation. Speculation within this agency, and this is only speculation at this point, is that Oswald subject may have become unstable following surgery April 1st, 1961, in the Minsk hospital. He may have been chemically or electronically controlled, a sleeper agent. The subject spent 11 days hospitalized for a minor ailment, which should have required no more than 3 days hospitalization at most. 6 days after his release, he met Marina Pruskova. This agency is particularly interested in her intelligence background, and I have requested a report from our Soviet embassy contact. So here, McCone actually talks about Oswald possibly being under mind control, whether or not it's this rogue element in the FBI and the CIA that he says carried out the attack, or whether it's Russian agents is really unclear, but it's pretty stunning that this is in the actual documentation between the director of the CIA and the head of the Secret Service. After his return to the U.S., Oswald worked in New Orleans through the Anti-Communist League of the Caribbean and Friends Democratic Cuba. His case officer was Special Agent in Charge Guy Bannister from the Chicago F-131 office. He was transferred from his assignments thereafter. He was arrested and fined stemming from an incident of his distribution of pamphlets for the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. While our files show no further assignments or contact, I am requesting a check on the subject from our New Orleans and Fort Worth offices. Please direct any further communication on this matter to my personal attention so that your request will be expedited, or feel free to call me anytime. My office is always available to you. John McCone. So there you have it, folks. A bombshell document that shows Oswald was trained by the CIA, worked with the FBI, that he admits, the director of the CIA at the time admits that it was carried out by rogue elements of both agencies, and he even alludes to MKUltra-style attacks by Oswald as a possibility. So again, be on the lookout, and let's see if Thursday we get to see this 800-page memorandum by this special agent in charge in the beginning, DeBruy. As always, if you like this video, please share it on social media. Go to wearechange.org. Follow me on Twitter at Jason Burmis. And if you can, please make that donation, folks. It's only through your
funding. Great information that you probably won't hear anywhere else. And so we will see. Or will we, I guess, is the question. Will we see the DeBruy memorandum among other critical documents? My bet is not on your life. But to establish whether or not we're getting real disclosure in any declassified documents, I would point to the DeBruy memo, or lack thereof. In other words, look for the DeBruy memo first and foremost, or its absence, of course, to establish precisely the level of disclosure, if any, provided. And I would kind of refer to that as the canary in the coal mine as far as the JFK documents set to be declassified are concerned. So that's interesting. And, you know, you heard it. Jason Burmis did a good job pointing out that that information is already in out in the public. And who talks about that? Whoever talks about that? Which is fairly indicative of the intent to further mislead the American people. It's hard to imagine that anything substantive will be brought to light by the newly declassified documentation, unfortunately. And I think, sadly, most of us know. I mean, it's, we'll talk about Las Vegas again here in a little bit, but if you look at the events back in 1963 and the events that unfolded specifically around that fateful day, that Friday, November 22nd, 1963. If you look at those events through the lens that has been crafted for us to view those events, then they don't really make sense. You end up with a magic bullet theory and things of that nature. But if you look at them through the lens that Jason Burmis alluded to, that we see in the intelligence community's own documentation, the fact that Oswald was an agent for the FBI and the CIA, and perhaps a double agent, et cetera, et cetera. Then those events, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald himself saying, "I'm a patsy," then those events start to make sense. I've mentioned a little nuanced detail of the involvement of folks like Darwin Payne, for example, who just happened to be at the right place at the right time as a fledgling correspondent for the Dallas Herald Tribune. I mean, what are the odds that Forrest Gump would be there? So it's interesting. In that context, things start to make sense, but in the context we've been fed, not at all. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't care.
Welcome back.
I want the perfect body.
So, just maybe a final note here on the JFK documents. I think federal judge Jack Tunheim put it best. You know, we hear his quote floating around within the establishment media, the establishment press, and I think he put it best. Here is the one of the original clips of him earlier this week, as quoted by CBS Minnesota in this piece titled "Judge Who Reviewed Secret Files Says It's Time to Release JFK Documents." But listen to what else he says. Go ahead.
Classified government documents related to the John F. Kennedy assassination are set to be released on Thursday.
Those documents from the assassination and the subsequent investigation were kept secret for years, but not from a federal judge in Minnesota. He's actually reviewed all of them. Pat, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it is, and we're all going to get to see these documents soon. The assassination documents were kept secret for decades, and this Minnesota judge who has seen all of them says it's time to get the information out once and for all.
Kennedy's assassination remains a national obsession, 54 years after he was murdered in Dallas.
There it is. It's
federal Judge Jack Thunheim served as President Bill Clinton's chair of the Assassination Records Review Commission. His job in 1993, to review every government document on the assassination and make them public.
It's time to do this so that everyone can believe that all the records that are in the hands of the federal government are released.
Thunheim oversaw release of tens of thousands of assassination documents, except for this last 3,000 pages. They contain sensitive information about names and locations of intelligence agents.
Chances are slim that any of this information should be protected anymore.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Half a century later, large numbers of Americans don't believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. First the assassination, then his murder on live TV, and persistent reports of Soviet Union and Cuba connections.
Those who are expecting to see a bombshell about the assassination are likely to be very disappointed.
Thunheim has examined every piece of evidence, every document, every film, even held the murder rifle. His conclusion: Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone.
People want to believe that a conspiracy killed President Kennedy and not a 24-year-old loser who was mad at the world and wanted to make a name for himself.
Well, President Trump could still block release of all or some of these documents, but he said on Saturday he is going to allow all of them to be made public unless he gets some other information. So we got till Thursday till we know for sure.
Yeah, so I mean...
So there you go.
We'll see what happens Thursday.
But kind of the definitive word. You know, you hear from Judge Jack Thunheim, it's time to do this. I mean, he's been involved all along the way so that everyone can believe that all the records that are in the hands of the federal government are released, he says. So, you know, the people say that are perhaps not familiar with his background and how he has helped occlude vital information from the American public. But you listen further and he says those who are expecting to see a bombshell about the assassination are likely to be very disappointed. His conclusion: Oswald acted alone. People want to believe that a conspiracy killed President Kennedy, Thunheim said, and not a 24-year-old loser who was mad at the world and wanted to make a name for himself. But the fact of the matter is there's very little evidence that points anywhere else. If there's any cover-up, he said, you heard him say it's agencies like the FBI and CIA covering up what he called shoddy work. A cover-up, he says, included destroying documents after the assassination. Oops. So the real threats and the real disclosure will likely never ever come because it's been destroyed. So meanwhile, you have folks like handlers, like Judge Jack Thunheim, filtering out what actually makes it to the American public. And folks like Darwin Payne, who were there, Forrest Gump, who just happened to be at the exact right place over and over at the exact right time. And I would submit that Darwin Payne was instrumental in getting Lee Harvey Oswald killed because of his admitted interruption of the sheriff being able to reach Police Chief Jesse Curry in time to have Oswald moved in advance of a plot to kill Oswald. And you know, the whole story is just, again, it's a chimerical story, a fanciful tale of people acting on their own for no apparent reason, even though they had connections, you know, the Jack Ruby connections, and everybody, all of the bridges are burned. all the real documentation destroyed, and the real plot never to be uncovered, unfortunately. So I wouldn't put any stock in documents, the real documentation of the real crime ever seeing the light of day, unfortunately. It'd be nice to think, but you heard the judge say it. And so again, you know, here are what sources close to the information say. Don't expect any revelations, no bombshells. And instead of wasting your time poring over 3,000 plus files, just look for the DeBruy memo. And if it's even there, whether or not it's heavily redacted, as the information we've seen previously will establish the level of disclosure. But again, I think Judge Tunheim puts it as well as it can be put. So there's the final word on that. Other interesting headlines and so forth. I thought it was interesting that Fats Domino and Robert Guillaume both passed away on Tuesday at age 89. That was interesting. World Economic Forum says more Americans than ever before say they aren't religious. And on that note, I say see also Pike's letter to Mazzini and the Third World War specifically, and the Union Jack, published in 1971, the prologue in particular, talking about counterfeit Christianity. It might be time to bring that up again sometime soon. The Union Jack prologue. Just for posterity's sake, the prologue from the Union Jack, published anonymously by the gnome de plume Helen Peters back in 1971. America post-mortem. Will it be said by future generations that this nation died without suspecting the cause of its mortal sickness? It requires approximately 1,000 minutes to read this volume, after which the reader will reject or accept it, as it is no haven for neutrals and no camouflage for treason. It is intended that this revelation will force upon the reader an unequivocal division of the issues pertaining to a suffering world, that he may penetrate the deeper meaning of world revolution, from which he will find himself on one side or the other. It will, it is hoped, remove the veil of imaginary patriotism, indeed imaginary patriotism, and catapult the reader from his state of euphoria into the conscious reality of the spiritual power that has molded him into a mental zombie. Do we have mental zombies in America? Indeed we do. This is not a justification for the preconditioning of the American people, but a challenge to it. Indeed, we need that challenge. It is most definitely not an essay on the social evils of a collective world state, but is an analysis of its spirit of subterfuge. But here is the point as far as Christianity is concerned. Seeing that Christianity could not be consumed by so many and great persecutions. And so listen, think about these words when you hear about this feigned persecution, particularly overseas. Seeing that Christianity could not be consumed by so many and great persecutions, but from them instead the impetus to fill the whole earth, the workers of wrath have attacked the conscience of the world by fabricating a counterfeit Christianity. More deceptively, however, they have added the dimension of feigned persecution to their stratagem of fundamental Christianity, quote-unquote, the reaction to which is to deceive humanity into a world social state in the name of Jesus Christ. Americans will be surprised to learn that America is being used as the major incubator of this neo-Orthodox Christianity, which is not antagonistic to Marxian communism at all, but is indeed the spirit of it. It is this spiritual communism in the guise of Christianity that is to emerge as the crowning achievement of world revolution. That is a shocking realization, but it seems that that is precisely what's happening. I mean, this counterfeit Christianity that sort of folds into the ecumenical movement and those ridiculous coexist bumper stickers. No offense to the folks that put them on their vehicles because most of those folks don't know better. It's as Nesta Webster pointed out, to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them from seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. And that's what's intended to happen. It misleads people and then gets us infighting. I say they're stupid bumper stickers, and then, of course, someone with one is offended, and then we're fighting. But I'm not poking at that person per se. I'm trying to bring their attention to how ridiculous these bumper stickers are and how they're intended to drive a wedge between us and balkanize us. And they're very good, like everything else, at doing that. So you put that together with Pike's letter to Mazzini and that aspect that I usually don't speak to, but the aspect of this counterfeit Christianity mentioned. Pike doesn't say counterfeit, anything, because that's obviously not in the devil's best interest, so to speak. But toward the end of the letter, when he says, "We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror, in all its horror, will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery and of the most bloody turmoil." Then what? Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. And then what happens? Because we haven't gotten there yet. We've seen this minority of revolutionaries, and I think that is probably perhaps best represented in the CIA and its functionaries. But I digress. And it's just part of a network, a broader network, obviously. And the multitude, then what? And the multitude of disillusioned with Christianity, Pike wrote, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. So, the prelude to that is political Zionism and political Islam being collided together, both mutually destroying one another as well, and then Christianity and atheism both conquered and exterminated at the same time next. But it's not Christianity. It's counterfeit Christianity, and that is what is emerging on the world stage. And it's fascinating to me to look back at 1971 and see that this was all foreshadowed. So that is, I would say, precisely what's happening. I mentioned on Tuesday the what else can you call it? Bad guys are calling it the Davos in the Desert meeting, which is just horrifying if you pay attention. The Future Investment Initiative, partnering with the world, Saudi Arabia is going to lead the world on economy 2.0, which is technocracy 1.0, and combating extremist views. So the fox, the wolf, really, is going to guard the hen house, and somehow that's going to go well. So if you're not familiar, I talked about that a little bit on Tuesday. Do a search for FII 2017, the Future Investment Initiative 2017. The hashtag FII 2017 is where you can learn more about that awful mess. Davos in the Desert, they call it. Continuing, other fun headlines. National Park Service wants to raise weekly pass rates to $70, up from $25 to $30 currently in 17 of the most popular national parks. That's being reported by Associated Press, CNN, and other outlets, which is interesting. just becoming more and more expensive to get out into nature. Meanwhile, we're encouraged not to want to spend time in nature, and that's very tragic and unfortunate. Other headlines, you know, and speaking of that, there's the story floating around Ryan Zinke from Montana, of course, Interior Secretary, and his schoolhood buddy, whose company that previously had only two employees working for it officially, got the power contract in Puerto Rico valued at $300 million, which is, you know, and everyone's saying no collusion, which is fun, but that's how it works. It's how it works. This is precisely what Andrew Jackson warned about. Your government will be bought and sold. And it's all predicated on this thing we call Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor reserve. It admits itself that, I mean, you look at the St. Louis Fed's website, it says it is not a part of the federal government, but we press on because, you know, Monday Night Football's on. The World Series is on, so, you know, we don't have time to deal with that kind of stuff. As the American middle class is eviscerated, which of course leads us to Mike Huckabee's quote and essentially the Bolshevik Revolution redo here in America, which is unfortunate. Associated Press reporting the FCC plans vote over loosening limits on media ownership, speaking of how the game is played. And so that's interesting. And I wanted to give you an excerpt of that story. Unbelievable what is happening. So quickly on that story. The headline... Yeah. Now the headline has been changed about a half an hour ago. Correction, media ownership rules story. And the entire story is, well, it's largely rewritten, unfortunately, as of about 40 minutes ago. The newspaper and broadcasting industries have pushed for changes to the rules as they face growing online competition. Critics say dropping the rules will encourage media consolidation and hurt local voices and diversity. And so FCC Chairman Ajit Pai said Wednesday at a congressional hearing that he wants to eliminate rules that, among other things, bar a company from owning both newspapers and TV stations in one market. It's been in place since 1975, but exceptions have been allowed. He also proposed scrapping limits on owning both local radio and TV stations and would make it easier for one company to own two broadcast TV stations in one market. So further consolidation, I mean, we know that it's just a scant few powerful, influential folks who really head all of the mainstream media throughout the country. So now we're going to try to consolidate that even more. That sounds like a fantastic idea to me. You know, back in the at the same time when these rules were put in place, George H.W. Bush said that the CIA would never use credentialed journalists again. So now we've just been doing that covertly. And so this would likely make it easier for that practice to come back to life, just, you know, publicly disclosing that the intelligence community is involved in the news. Considering the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, Operation Earnest Voice, astroturfing, InQtel, and other factors, do you see where this is heading? Because I don't think I'd be disappointed in my skepticism. unfortunately. Some happy news, though. Looking at the Nielsen ratings, viewership was down for the Walking Dead debut. Are people getting smart? I don't know. I hope, maybe. CNN says that Senator Jeff Flake gave the most important speech of 2017. With all due respect, highly disagree. Anyway, moving on. I thought it was interesting. Bruce Paddock, you've heard the story. Undoubtedly, it's all over the headlines. We're not hearing anything about Las Vegas, but now, you know, we hear 59 people, 59-year-old Bruce Paddock, which is interesting. Or was it 58 people and 58-year-old Bruce Paddock? Or is he 57? As TMZ and other outlets reporting indicate, which would be interesting because isn't brother Eric Paddock 57 too? So again, we have all of these weird anomalies in this story. But Bruce Paddock was taken into custody, younger brother of Stephen Paddock, the alleged Las Vegas Route 91 Harvest Festival shooter. And so the younger Paddock, that's an interesting story. I want to get to here momentarily. Some very odd developments in that story. And Tucker Carlson did a great job of covering it last night. I think it's interesting. Folks in the alternative media, Jake Morfonios in particular over End Times News Report, actually did a video and said that Tucker Carlson reporting last night on the Las Vegas incident, breaking some news last night, exclusive. We'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But other than that, very little else coming out. Why do you suppose that is? So quickly, one of the things that I wanted to point out, you know, we play that clip of Donald Trump, or excuse me. Well, let's do this. You remember this clip. Let's give you a couple of back-to-back clips. You remember the words of Rahm, Opportunities of Crisis, Emmanuel. Undoubtedly, they should be indelibly etched in the minds of everyone. But, you know, and we know that Hillary Clinton holds to the arsonist's mantra, the arsonist's creed, to never let a perfectly good crisis go to waste, because she echoed Rahm's sentiments. Here's Rahm Emanuel, Rahm, Opportunities of Crisis Emanuel. Go ahead.
We want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
So there's that. And Donald Trump, just before leaving for his visit to Texas yesterday, had strikingly similar words with regard to the opioid epidemic. And so here are those words.
Opioids tomorrow. We're going to be doing a very, very important meeting sometime in the very short, very near future on opioids, in terms of declaring a national emergency, which gives us power to do things that you can't do right now.
There you go. Donald Trump said it, which gives us power to do things you can't do right now. So my question is, what can't you do right now, and what do we hope to accomplish with a national emergency? Because it's always bad. As I said on Tuesday, this foments a non-thinking process in the mind. It normalizes the abnormal. We're just going to climb out the window, the second story window, and climb down with a rope ladder. That's not normal. So we suspend critical thinking in moments of crisis. The 93rd Senate proved that back in 1973 in its report. Go read the Senate report 93-549 and see how overwhelming the plenary powers of the executive already are. So furthering the national emergency is not in the best interest of the American people. And defending an industry, you know, it's exactly as Aesop put it. We hang the petty thieves and appoint the great ones to public office. And that is the operative phrase here, because it's not the elected officials that are the real problem. It's the appointments of power. Remember James P. Hill's piece back in 1986, the third house of Congress versus the fourth branch of government. Those are people that are not elected. So the agencies and these private corporations that make these prescription drugs, what of them? What accountability? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Serious for a minute, your age. Getting old has its perks, but remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, October 26, 2017. A couple other headlines, and then we'll get to the, the interesting news of the day, I suppose. the more juicy stuff. It's very bizarre. What seems to be evident is that we're supposed to suspend critical thinking in all things and view things through that lens, whether it's the JFK assassination and the release of nothing specific once again, all the way up to the Las Vegas shooting incident on October 1st of this year. We're not supposed to look closely at anything, apparently, according to the powers that shouldn't be, as James Corbett would put it. But a couple of other headlines as we close out this hour. Third U.S. carrier strike group in the North Pacific. That's interesting, to say the least. There are folks who have been secretly saying that what has been happening in preparation for that is you know, that something big is afoot. Two carrier strike groups is unusual. Three is described as very, very unusual and somewhat unprecedented. That means something is happening there. So, and, you know, as a prelude to some engagement with North Korea, it's very unsettling because, again, I mean, to imagine that the ridiculous banter that we're fed in the mainstream media is anything but entirely fabricated is ridiculous. The narrative that Kim Jong-un and President Trump are personally kind of battling in headlines and Twitter feeds is, I mean, it's just insulting to the intelligence of anyone, really. And, you know, for more on that story, I would remind the listener that as Noam Chomsky pointed out, North Korea has agreed to suspend its nuclear program on the condition that the national military establishment, the NATO powers led by, well, not the NATO powers in this case, but the national military establishment of the United States military-industrial complex, not patrol its borders like sharks that smell blood. And that condition, of course, will never be honored. So that's an interesting little wrinkle in the story that we never hear when we hear about these battles in headlines. I don't remember where I saw the last one. I think it was an AP story, something to the effect. The headline was, a North Korean official says, you better take the threats seriously, which is, again, it's insulting to the conscience. I'll find that headline when we're in the next segment here. Second hour coming up right after the short break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.